Exodus chapter 21, and Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. And in these next chapters, these next few chapters, contain the written judgments for Israel. They don't cover every issue specifically, but in principle, they do cover every single issue. So we begin in verse 2. If you buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Now, the fact that God gave laws concerning the treatment of servants doesn't mean that he was for slavery. He simply wanted to protect the civil rights of servants. Now, a Hebrew was allowed to work their way out of poverty or debt by becoming a servant, but no Hebrew could become someone's permanent slave. 7 years was the longest that they could serve, with one exception, verse 3. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. So, if a man needed money, and he became a servant alone, then he left alone. If he and his wife went into it together, then they left together. Verse 4. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. So, if you were given a wife by your master, then she would remain after you were set free. Of course, you knew that was going to be the deal before you married her. But here's the thing. You didn't have to go free and leave your wife. You did not have to marry, and you did not have to leave if you did marry. Look at verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. See, you have to figure that most men planned on working for the guy all their life when they agreed to marry the woman that he gave him. Verse 6. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or to the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So a pierced ear was a sign that you belonged to your master and that you willingly agreed to do that for the rest of your life. Verse 7. And if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as men servants do. The word sell seems pretty cold, but it wasn't as bad as it sounds. When daughters were sold, it was with a view to marrying a man. And of course, any decent father wouldn't allow her to marry someone that she did not like or who'd be unkind to her in some way. And not only that, but the bride price he received would be set aside for her. It was sort of an insurance policy in case her husband died or divorced her. 8. If she please not her master, who has betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her to a strange nation, he shall have no power, seeing he has dealt deceitfully with her. So if the man changed his mind and did not want to marry her, he had to let one of her relatives buy her back. He could not say, oh, I don't want her. I guess I'll just sell her to the highest bidder like I would sell an ox. Verse 9. And if he have betrothed her to his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. And so if a man purchased a girl for his son, she was to be treated as a daughter, not a servant. You know, in that day, women were treated like property by the heathen. And God is laying down laws designed to ensure that they treated women with respect. 10. If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall not be diminished. And if he do not these three to her, then shall she go out free without money. If a man takes a second wife, and God did not condone it, but if she did, or if he did, he still had to treat the first one well. If he did not, she could walk out, and God would be on her side. 12. He that smites a man so that he die shall surely be put to death. And so we see that God, who had already established the death penalty after the flood, well, he confirms it right here. Innocent human life is priceless to God. And that is why the life of someone who murders must not be spared. This is about justice. God expects civil government to execute first-degree murderers. 13. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint you a place where he shall flee. And this is just talking about involuntary manslaughter. Someone who was guilty of manslaughter, not murder, was not to be executed. 14. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. And so there's no refuge for the cold-blooded murderer. Not even the holy sanctuary can protect him. This is God's law that he has broken. 15. And he that smites his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Hitting your parent with the intent to do harm meant the death penalty. And as you can see, it is very important to God that children honor their parents. Verse 16. And he that steals a man and sells him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. Death penalty for kidnapping as well. You know, if a nation would follow these rules, these commandments of God, there'd be a lot less people in jail, wouldn't there? And there would be a lot less repetitive crime. 17. And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Disrespect for parents is not to be tolerated at all. Children are not supposed to run the home, the parents are. And they're supposed to do it under the guidance of the Lord God. 18. And if men strive together, and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keeps his bed. Verse 19, if he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit or go unpunished. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. In other words, if two people get in a fight, the winner loses right along with the loser. The loser gets a broken body, the winner gets to pay for his medical expenses and loss of wages for the time that he can't work. Look at how common sense these commandments are. Very clear, very straightforward, very much common sense. 20. And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall surely be punished. And since there was no specific punishment mentioned for killing a servant, we should conclude that it's the death penalty just like it is for any other murder. Because that's the context of what we're dealing with here. 21. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money. And so the servant is the master's source of income. The loss of income from an injured servant would by itself be a deterrent to hurting him. It would be like an independent trucker slashing his tires. Well, go ahead and do it, but you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay for the tires, you're going to pay for the loss of time and the loss of income. Verse 22, if men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So if someone causes a premature birth, the guilty one had to pay restitution, and the husband got to name the price within reason. The judges in a community would make sure that it was within reason. But notice verse 23, and if any mischief follow, any further injury follow, then you shall give life for life. An unborn child is just as valuable to God as a born child. If someone killed an unborn baby, they were a murderer, just as if they would have killed the expecting mother. Verse 24, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. This is not the legalization of vigilantism. That's not what God is promoting here. God is giving civil government the right to punish criminals. But he wants to make sure that the punishment always fits the crime. Don't go beyond and be too harsh, but don't be too lenient either. 26. And if a man smite the eye of his servant, or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out the manservant's tooth, or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake. Any permanent injury to a servant must result in that servant being set free. Verse 28. If an ox gore a man or a woman, that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten. But the owner of the ox shall be free or clear of blame. Destroy any animal that kills a human being. That's the law. Verse 29. But if the ox were wont to push with its horn in time past, and it has been testified to its owner, and he has not kept him in, but that he has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner also shall be put to death. Use common sense, or be prepared to suffer. If you have an animal who has attacked people in the past, not killed, but attacked, and the owner doesn't keep it locked up, he's guilty of murder if it attacks and kills someone. You know, be responsible adults or suffer the consequences. 30. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him, whether it have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done to him or to it. You know, the only exception to the previous rule is this. The victim's relative could allow the owner of the animal to buy himself out of the death penalty. 32. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. So the price of a slave was 30 pieces of silver, and it was fixed. Male or female, strong or weak, that was the price that the Lord had set. 33. And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good, and give money to the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his. Negligence that results in harm or loss to another has to be compensated for. If it costs the person something, maybe we'll be more careful the next time. Verse 35. And if one man's ox hurt another's that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also they shall divide. Verse 36. Or if it be known that the ox has used to push in time past, and its owner has not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own. These laws are all about personal responsibility, aren't they? If someone causes an accident, he must pay damages and then some. If it happens a second time, after nothing was done to keep it from happening, then the penalty is more severe. The point is this. You've been taught. You should have known better. But you don't seem to care. So the law is going to teach you to care. It's going to force you to care.